This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Best quarterback in the National Football League right here, baby. And he shows it every time. I'm going to listen to me, baby. I love you.
There's Travis Kelce dropping an F-bomb live on television, loving him some Pat Mahomes. Hey, I don't blame him. I don't blame him whatsoever. The question we are asking, 877-881-1053, what upsets you the most watching the playoff games yesterday and seeing some of these teams have success, the Niners, the Chiefs? What upsets you the most as a Cowboys fan sitting back watching these teams have success? 877-881-1053. I have the five lessons that we learned. This is from The Ringer. I have the five lessons that we learned from the final four NFL playoff teams. And there's a couple of them that I find interesting, but I think one of the things that stuck out to me the most yesterday and that really bugged me from a Cowboys perspective is just watching San Francisco be able to run all over. I mean, they hand the ball off a million times, and they're still able to score 37 points, win by double digits, and they dominated from start to finish. And at some point, everybody in the building knows you're running the ball. You're still having success. And it's with a guy named Mostert, and it's 10 yards at a time, 200-plus yards, four touchdowns. Jimmy Garoppolo didn't even have to, like, he could play today because his shoulder's fine because all he had to do was hand the ball off a million times. And the reason why they're able to do that is because Kyle Shanahan and his offense, schematically, they have nuance to their running game. Ooh. Their rushing attack has, you bring in the fullback, you bring in the tight end. Their offensive line isn't better than the Cowboys. No, it's not. They have Joe Staley and McGlinchey. And then what? They lost their center early on in the year, out for the season. They don't have some star-studded offensive line, but they're still able to run the ball effectively when everybody in the building knows they're going to do it, and it's because Kyle Shanahan has nuance to his rushing attack, and it's not just hat on a hat, beat the guy in front of you, block the man. I saw something on Twitter earlier this week. These guys are now doing these, like, these Baldy breakdown-type videos. And one of them was the former Pro Bowl center, all-pro center for the Chicago Bears, Olin Krutz. And he's watching the San Francisco 49ers, and he shows you a play with from them last week against the Vikings. And he says, this blocking scheme is something I've never seen before. They're combining multiple different blocking schemes within one play. And this is a center who's been in the league, who was in the league for a long time. He was a Pro Bowler. And he's looking at it like, yo, Kyle Shanahan is a genius. And he's getting it done running the football with no-name running backs. Everybody in the building knows you're running the football, and you're still having success. It's because you have nuance to your rushing attack.
You know, their rushing attack is really, really good. But then again, so is their defense. And when you're up 27-0, you now do whatever you want. Their rushing attack is, you know, like you say, nuance, and I like that word. They're able to do what they want to do because they're averaging 7.5 yards a carry yesterday. You know, Mostert is, or was in that game, tremendous. And it's not just this power eye running up the middle.
Exactly.
I mean, they're running to the left, they're running right, they're all over the map. It was a really good week. I found yesterday to be very fun, very fun. I really enjoyed the first game, the comeback. I mean, I love watching Mahomes play. And I like the Niners. I like watching the Niners play. They're two totally different, you know, contrasting styles. But I love watching those two teams. I'll tell you, as a Cowboy fan, the one thing that upset me the most yesterday, that one thing, was the whole why not us? Why do the Niners go from 4-12 and find this magical run? Why do the Titans have nothing all year, sneak into the playoffs because the Houston Texans allowed them to? And then go on a magical run to the AFC Championship game. Where's the Cowboys' magical run? That's the frustrating thing. Where's the fortunate? I mean, let's face it. everyone's giving them the credit, you know, the Titans credit for, you know, this run. They scored 14 points in the first game. Okay, they scored 14 points. Cowboys scored 30 and lost to Green Bay.
Yeah.
Like, that's the frustrating thing. This team scored 14 points and won a playoff game on the road in New England. And the Cowboys here scored 30 in a home loss to Green Bay.
Asking Tolos, what part of watching the game made you angriest when you reflect on the Dallas Cowboys? 877-881-1053. And from the 817, very early on, the running back salary that we're paying to our guy Ezekiel Elliott when the San Francisco 49ers pretty much grab whoever off the scrap heap and make him into a star, starting with the player that had been with seven other teams prior to this, Eric, Raheem Mostert.
Yes, he was been cut by six teams. The Niners are his seventh team, and he didn't have a single carry for any of those other six teams.
Wild. And I think Autoflex Leasing Fantex is kind of pointing out one of the things that upset a lot of us is seeing that it can work that easily and knowing how much we're going to be paying to our guy.
Yes, that is definitely something that would be frustrating to watch. There's no doubt about it. The rushing attack in general, from a schematic standpoint with what the Niners were able to do, and then they don't have the same offensive line as you, and they don't have the same caliber back as you, and look what they're able to do. It's because their coach is an offensive genius. That's what he is.
I think the thing that frustrated me the most as a Cowboys fan yesterday is that you had four teams playing in the conference championship games, and of those 14, 37 of the players weren't even born when the Cowboys last played in an NFC championship. One more time, 37 of the guys from the four teams yesterday weren't even born when the Cowboys played in 1996.
That's it? I would have guessed it's higher.
Yeah, well, no.
Because right? That makes sure that you're, that was, what, 25 years ago? 24 years ago, right?
Yeah, it'd be 24 and younger.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, no, that makes sense. Never mind then.
Yeah, so 37 guys, and that bugged me. This one, it didn't really bug me as a Cowboys fan, but I was like, I've never heard that before.
Hey, on three, can we just give it one? How about those Chiefs? One, two, three. How about those Chiefs?
Huh. When it's something you've literally never done before, it's a little bit weird to get the crowd involved in that.
I'm pretty sure I've heard someone say that before that shouldn't have been fired.
So we had one theft of the Hot Boys this season, and we now have a theft of... Let's go Cowboys.
Yeah, the catchphrase right there.
How
so
about
yeah,
them Cowboys?
There were plenty of things
and
to be.
They're both in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, exactly. There's plenty of things to be upset about as a Cowboy fan.
So we do good branding. That's the takeaway from that, right? We do good branding.
53 brands.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, that's right.
Around
that's right.
Here 53 brands.
And is it just me? The other thing, really quick, as a Cowboy fan that just infuriated me, is just how nonchalant it was when fourth down came up. For all the teams yesterday, it's like fourth down and short. Oh, yeah, we're going to go for it.
Yeah,
when here, it's like, get out there kicking, team. It's fourth down. Obviously, we have to kick it. Yesterday, it was like, no, we can go for it here. It's no big deal. Even Romo was acting that way on the CBS broadcast. Like, yeah, it's fourth and short. They're going to go for it. That's the call here. But here, it's not the case in Dallas.
Yeah, well, hopefully it becomes the case. Hopefully it becomes the case with Mike McCarthy leading the charge. Now, a couple lessons learned from the NFL's final four playoff teams, and I want to start with with one of these where they say a dominant pass rush can still carry a defense in the playoffs. Now, we've talked about this year, especially on the nosebleed seats with myself and Zach Wolchuk. I know you guys have talked about it as well. Kavanaugh has talked about it on G-Bag. The way 2019 is, the way 2020 is, analytics are showing that it's better to have the secondary, the really good corners, the really good safeties as opposed to that front seven. And you see teams like the Ravens. You see teams like Bill Belichick and the Patriots. The Patriots don't spend any money, big money in free agency. The one guy they went to make sure they got, Stephon Gilmore a couple years ago. He's like the best corner in football. They have the McCourty brothers. They invest top draft picks in those guys, big money in those guys, right? They don't. They just go get past. They let Trey Flowers walk right out of the building and go sign a big money deal last offseason, one of the better pass rushers last year. He goes to Detroit, with Matt Patricia, and you saw how that turned out. They let the pass rushers walk away. They put big money, big assets into the secondary. You saw the Ravens do the same thing. They let Za'Darius Smith go to Green Bay, but they made the midseason trade for Marcus Peters. Their one big free agent signing in the offseason was Earl Thomas. They have four former first-round picks in their secondary. So that's how those two teams decided to build it. But those two teams didn't make it to the Final Four. They didn't make it to the Super Bowl. The teams that did were the pass rush of San Francisco. Mm. It was the pass rush of the Green Bay Packers with Za'Darius Smith and the Smith brothers and what they've done. So maybe it's not so fast, my friend, on the way to build the defense, which has always been from front to back.
Just
recently has changed to maybe back to front. But now these Final Four teams in the playoffs are saying, listen, having a dominant pass rush still absolutely matters.
Well, I mean, the thing is that, you know, you want to build it back to front, though, because it's a passing league, so much so. Now, the Niners aren't necessarily a passing team. Well, that doesn't mean that it's the most effective way to build a roster. That's all it's about. All it's about. It's not necessarily showing you. Like, make the Super Bowl participants don't prove a thing about what's the right way, what's the wrong way. The right way, the wrong way is shown over the 16-game regular season, not a four-week playoff run. That's the difference. That's sort of the situation and the problem that we all get wrapped up into when we overvalue 1 week here, 1 week there in January because there's only a handful of teams left. Look at the 16-game regular season and how to build your roster. That's what you should look at. And it's, you know, the teams have kind of proven that, you know, the ability to defend the secondary is what's important. Because how many of these quarterbacks get rid of the ball so quick?
Yeah, that, and that's
you
been
my
thing.
You can't sack them. Right. That's why pass rush is overrated. You can't sack these guys. You just can't sack them anymore. They get rid of the ball too quick.
If you're going up against the elite of the elite quarterback.
Exactly. That's what matters.
That's what matters.
I don't care about building my roster to go up against the 15th best quarterback in the league. I care about building my roster to go up against the best.
Because they say, the way the sack stuff is showing up now is it's like it's mostly on the quarterback. Like, if you have a high sack rate, a lot of times it's because your quarterback just holds on to the football too much and he doesn't have the pocket presence, pocket awareness.
Yeah, why the Titans formula fail yesterday? Not because it's a bad formula, because they ran into the best quarterback in the league. That's exactly the reason why the Niners formula likely will fail. Not because their defense isn't any good, but because they haven't played the best quarterback in the league yet.
Can't wait till they do. That'll be a hell of a game.
And they might wind up winning. I mean, you might wind up winning. It's certainly possible that they win.
Oh, yeah. Get a couple of turnovers or something like that. It can absolutely happen.
Absolutely.
But I'm siding with you. I'll take Mahomes and I'll take the great quarterback and the great offense. I do think that the 49ers are going to have a hard time stopping them. And the question will be, can they keep up? And maybe they can. They kept up with the Saints earlier this season.
Exactly. Like, I think the 49ers are the most adaptable team in the league from week to week. They can play the 20-17 defensive slugfest, run the ball, or they can play that 48-46 shootout in the Superdome against Drew Brees, where there's more touchdown passes thrown in the first half than incompletions.
They're the much more complete team of these two, but the superior quarterback is clear, in my opinion.
It can just overrule. Oh, there's no question. The quarterback situation here, Mahomes versus Garoppolo, it's not even a discussion. And that's why it's going to be so fun to see, okay, what team might be the better team in San Francisco. When you look at it top to bottom, they have pretty good offense, great defense, and a really good running game. But Kansas City, it's like, okay defense, so-so defense, dominant quarterback, dominant passing game. And does that override what San Francisco is bringing to the table?
Yeah, I mean, let's not forget, you know, Kansas City's defense is ironically really good against the pass this year, which you would think it wouldn't be because they're getting passed on so much at the end of games because they're winning. But their defense is really good against the pass.
Well, they invested.
They're bad against the run.
They are bad. Yes, they are bad against the run. They are bad against the run. But they went and got the pass rusher, Frank Clark. They get Tyrann Mathieu in the secondary. That's been a godsend to that defense. He's so fun to watch, too. You talk about Pat Mahomes being like the funnest guy in the NFL to watch. They have a handful of guys, from Mahomes to Kelce to Tyreek Hill. And then defensively, Tyrann Mathieu. They have a lot of superstar talent that is just extremely fun to watch. The Super Bowl is going to be fantastic, and I know we're going to be breaking it down here on The Fan for the next 2 weeks, getting you set for the big game.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.